Good morning, folks. How are you this morning? And I don't just mean that as an off-the-cuff greeting. I really mean, how are you? I'd suggest that we ask ourselves that question and we listen to our own answer. I'll let you think about that one for a minute and ask you a very specific and slightly strange question. How are your feet? Eh? Yes, I did ask you, how are your feet? And for a good reason. Feet are some of the things we often take for granted. We never notice them until something goes wrong. We just assume that they'll do their job. But here's another question, and it might help explain why I'm asking these things. Would you like to have beautiful feet? In the Old Testament, we have this verse, Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the one who brings good news of peace, who announces good things, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Then in the New Testament, it refers back to it in Romans 10:15. And how can people preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are those who bring the good news. So, to have beautiful feet, we should be announcing the good news, announcing the salvation of our God, proclaiming to people, your God reigns. Your God reigns. That's a fundamental message. In the context of Isaiah, it was addressed to Zion, but it applies exactly and totally to all Christians. For Myra and I, we've adopted it almost as our mantra for when things go wrong, when we're suffering sort of challenging situations. We tend to say to each other, God's in charge. That's a slightly simplified version of our God reigns. I'd claim that's the essential message of the Bible. Your God reigns. God's supremacy, God's almightiness, if that's a word, is fundamental to all understanding of the Bible. Because of that, it's basic to make sense of all history and all current affairs. So the biblical image of God is not one of a creator who, having created, then gives up on his creation and leaves them to their own devices. Far from it. The Bible view is of a God who continues to interact with his people and his world. Yes, he has given us all free will, and that means we can stray away from him. But he loves us so much that he provides us with a way back to him. That's the story throughout the New Testament where his people are looking forward to the Messiah. And it's the story of the New Testament where the Messiah comes, even if it's not in a form that most of God's people expected. So, we are to use our beautiful feet by proclaiming on the mountains the good news that our God reigns. What does that mean in practice? In Isaiah's day, it's all about the Jewish captives being released. Those who had been taken away by the Babylonians were being set free to return to Jerusalem. There could be a whole long history lesson in here, but let me just sum it up in a couple of lines. About 600 years before Jesus, the Babylonian Empire overran the kingdom of Judah and took captive many of the men of Jerusalem. They were taken away in what was known as the exile. Something like 60 years later, the new King Cyrus allowed them to return. The setting for this verse in Isaiah is when the first of these exiles, or more likely the descendants of some of these exiles, are coming back to Jerusalem. That's what these news bearers were carrying, the wonderful news of the release of the captives. These people who had been taken away as slaves had been set free. If there was ever something to rejoice about, this was it. I heard an interview the other day with a Welsh postmaster who had been jailed unfairly because he was accused of a fiddle by the post office in what turned out to be a problem with their computer system. Many people were wrongly convicted of this, and it's taken a long time to come to the truth. This guy is one of many whose lives were ruined by false evidence, and this guy had spent many months in prison. In the interview, you could tell just how much that short time in prison had affected him, and it seemed to have even more impact on his wife, who was left at home. It made me think of how being dragged off to virtual slavery in a foreign land must have impacted the Jewish people, both those taken away and those that were left in Israel. Can you imagine how the news of them being released would affect them? Think about the impact on the prisoners themselves, but even more, the impact on the people, their friends, their relatives who were back in Judah. So when they sent a few of the fittest and fastest to bring the news back to Jerusalem, there must have been great rejoicing. Can you picture perhaps a few of the young guys having walked and run hundreds of miles as they came over the brow of the hills overlooking Jerusalem? These are not mountains as we would know them, but they're hills. The place where you would be able to spot people coming up to the city. Perhaps there had been rumours of a pending release, but how many times had the rumours turned out to be false? It's when you actually see one of the captives coming home that you really start to believe it for real. These people who were captives are now running down the mountain to their beloved Zion, proclaiming, "Your God reigns." It's so true for everyone. It's when we see that change in someone that we can believe there is truth in the power that set them free. It's when people see freedom in your life that they can believe the truth of the gospel. It's when they see that you're free from fear, from anxiety, from worry about death, that they can begin to take in the truth that your God reigns. How does this verse apply to our lives? How can we have beautiful feet? What does this really mean in our day-to-day lives? Well, it's all about the fact that we are the bearers of good news. Good news, that's what the word gospel literally means. The good news that these guys with the beautiful feet were carrying was the news of the release of captives. Friends and relatives being set free, the opening of prison doors, families being reunited, people coming home. This was good news indeed. For us as Christians, we have some good news which is even more stunning. The news of release from an eternal imprisonment. The news of a freedom which will last forever. No risk of being recaptured. No chance of ever having our freedom taken away from us again. Our good news is actually so much more powerful than just the physical release of kidnapped people. Our good news has timeless impact. I reckon that this means our feet should be even more beautiful as we deliver this good news, this gospel. One of the key things here is the fact that the feet are on the mountains. What does that mean for us? As you approach Jerusalem, you come over the hills and you can be seen from a long way off. This makes me think of the verse about not hiding your light. Let's look at that. Matthew 5, 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city located on a hill can't be hidden. People don't light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people in such a way that they will see your good actions and glorify your Father in heaven. What this means to me is that we're being told by Jesus to be publicly known as people who carry good news. We are to let those around us know about the good news. We are to share this news about freedom with all those around us. We are to offer the light that we carry to everyone in the house. In the same way as these young men were sent at top speed to let those in faraway Jerusalem know about the release of captives, we are to go and let others know about our release from the captivity of normal, sinful lives. As these runners were seen running down the hills into Jerusalem, we should expect these people, those people who see us, to react to us. And those who are awaiting news will welcome the great news which we are carrying. They will recognise our beautiful feet. This is a very positive picture of what the church calls evangelism. So often we see evangelism as a duty or a chore, something that we have to do. But for these young runners, it was a very natural reaction to the fact that they had been released themselves. They wanted everyone to share in the joy which they and their fellow prisoners were celebrating. When I begin to think of sharing the gospel as a chore, I have to ask God to reignite my joy in what He has done for me. It's when I find my heart brimful with gratitude to God for what He's done for me that I find it easiest to let that gratitude pour out into the lives of others. It's that positive, joyful expression of thankfulness for what Father God has done for us that attracts people. Now, especially as Scots, we can very easily fall into talking negatively about others and about everything around us. "We're all doomed," said in a private Fraser voice, is often what people expect of us. But as Christian Scots, our message should be different. And by different, I don't mean you're all doomed. That takes us in exactly the wrong direction. The message of the gospel is we can all be saved from doom. That's the tone and the approach that these young men, that these young runners had. Let's celebrate. We bring news of freedom. Those were the cries as they ran down the hills into Jerusalem. The joy and enthusiasm which they presented the message with was what made people think of their feet as beautiful. Of course, not everyone will accept the message of the gospel, and there were probably some in Jerusalem who said, "This is a Babylonian plot. They're trying to trick us. This isn't real." But for most people, they could see the truth of these people returning to their homeland. They could see the real change in their lives. They recognised their genuine joy. That's the true telling of the gospel. It's when God's good news so motivates us that we can't keep quiet that we are at our most effective for God's kingdom. It's the natural telling of how good God is that's attractive to others. What impacted the people of Jerusalem to react to these young runners was the fact that they carried good news. And it's when we're overwhelmed with the good news that people listen. Then that listening leads them to know God, to coming into the kingdom. It's when we're fully concentrated on that good news that we are at our most effective at expanding the kingdom. I always think it's the most positive people who are the most attractive, and thus are the people that others want to listen to. See how we're encouraged to focus on the positive in the New Testament. If we look at Philippians 4, verse 8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is fair, whatever is pure, whatever is acceptable, whatever is commendable, if there is anything of excellence and if there is anything praiseworthy, keep thinking about these things." Now that's quite a thought. We've got to keep thinking about positive things, keep concentrating on just how good God is, what he has done for us, how he looks after us. When we've got a positive attitude and a positive outlook and a positive message, those around us respond by listening, by taking in what we say and how we live our lives. So, if you want to make your feet more beautiful, keep thinking on the good news, on good things. Be thankful for the good things that God has done. Be joyful for the good things that God has given you. Thank him for practical things, for food, for health, for life, for friends. Thank him for spiritual things, prayer, meditation, song, salvation, revelation, prophecy, how we can know his presence. Continually thank God for the fact that our God reigns. Let that be the theme which we live our lives by. This idea of being positive in all things makes me think of a few verses which I quoted a wee while back, and they've been a bit of a revelation to me. It sort of neatly summed up something that God's been teaching me for a long time. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Always be joyful, continually be prayerful, in everything be thankful, because this is God's will for you in the Messiah Jesus. So, I would suggest that making our feet more beautiful is a case of ensuring that we're concentrated on good news. Let's keep thinking on how good God is, and let that enthusiasm for the gospel spill out into everything we say and do. That's what made those carriers of news so attractive to the people of Jerusalem, the fact that they were brimming over with good news. And the fact that they were there was proof of it. When our lives celebrate God's goodness, people notice. There's plenty of bad news around. Indeed, we're surrounded by it. That's because we live in a fallen world which has gone away from God. But we don't need to keep thinking about that. I'm probably a bit of a news junkie. I like to keep abreast of what's going on in the world. But as I watch TV news or read a newspaper, there's often a little voice going on in my head which simply repeats the thought, "Our God reigns." That's the context in which we should take in the bad news of a world going to hell. The context is that we are going to heaven because of what Jesus has done. By always having that fact as the background to all negative things around us, we can stay positive people. Christians can be positive in very negative situations because our God reigns. Even when things seem bleak, horrible, painful, ugly, we know that our God reigns. We know the truth of a life which is eternal, better, more fulfilling than what surrounds us today. That positive attitude is what makes our feet beautiful. Of course, sometimes telling others about the good news is hard work. When these young men were making a beeline for Jerusalem over many hundreds of miles, there must have been many times when their feet seemed sore rather than seeming beautiful. Carrying the good news sometimes requires us to put up with things that are not pleasant. Blisters are painful. When they arrived in Jerusalem on a physical level, their feet were probably not beautiful at all. Walking on hard roads, in hot, dusty conditions, in poor quality footwear, is very unpleasant. This was not some Nike advert where you could run forever without a twinge. At a physical level, their feet were probably ugly. But they and the people who greeted them could see above the physical level. They saw the beauty of what their God had done. There are times when giving up on physical comfort is what God requires for us to be more effective at spreading the good news. I can picture the people in Jerusalem taking these young men into their homes and bathing their feet while the young men told the story about the release from exile. This also makes me think of the story in John 13 about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. There's great symbolism in this. And it's as we suffer discomfort because of the gospel that Jesus can minister to us most in a most meaningful way. So, if you've ever had to suffer something because you're trying to speak the gospel to others, trying to speak to them about Jesus, then take some time to let Jesus gently and carefully pour healing balm on those sore feet. Let him make them beautiful again. Maybe you've told a friend about something that God has done for you and they've rejected it, maybe even rejected you in some way. The impact of that might have been to make you hesitant to share the gospel again. Your feet no longer seem beautiful. The good news you are carrying no longer seems to attract others. You're sore because you tried and it hurt. Most Christians have gone through that, and for some of us, gone through it quite often. But this is only on a human, physical level. Probably your feelings are hurt, in the same way as these guys' feet were hurt. If that's the case, let Jesus bathe those hurt feelings in the same way as he bathed the disciples' feet. Jesus wants to restore the beauty of those feet that bring good news. If you've got hurt feelings, let Jesus bathe your feet. Take some time to imagine Jesus reaching out to you, taking your feet in his hands, and taking time to clean the grot off. Pour a healing balm on them. Gently rub them and take away the pain. There are times when it's hard to keep our feet still. Think of David dancing with all his might before the Lord in 2 Samuel. He was expressing his joy in the Lord in a very physical way. Sometimes we need to move to let our heart pour out. For each of us, there are times when we need Jesus to restore the beauty of our feet. This often involves restoring the joy which moves those feet. Let's each ask God to reignite the spark within us, which makes that lamp burn with the gospel light. Ask him to renew our celebration of his goodness, and to then let that celebration make us move in whatever way he wants. So, to finish off, here's a few questions. I'd suggest you take some time to think through these questions and give yourself some honest answers. How are you? How are your feet? Do your feet seem beautiful? Do you appreciate your release from captivity? How much does being free make you want to move? Do you often react to situations with, "Our God reigns"? Should you spend some time letting Jesus bathe your feet? Do you keep thinking about the good news? And finally, what movement does God want you to do? That's it for today. So I hope to see you soon. God bless. Bye.